Up dog fella, look good, feel good, play good. We got some new Adidas golf swag coming the fella's way.
I don't know if any new golf swag would help your game, but I love it. Adidas is excited to introduce new offerings within the Go-To apparel collection that allows you to bring your style to the golf course. Not the traditional golf uniform, Go-To brings a fresh attitude to the game wherever you play. You'll look good on and off the course while enjoying all the technical benefits that let you play your best.
Featuring streetwear-inspired style, the Go-To collection rewrites all the rules and encourages you to express your style through every swing. Explore the new Go-To collection on adidas.com/golf.
Fellas,
Labatt Blue USA. Lots of things are better together. Hockey and Labatt Blue. Golf and Labatt Blue. Barbecuing with an ice-cold Labatt Blue. But if you really want to take things to the next level, drink some Labatt Blue Lights with your friends and live life to the power of we. Always enjoy responsibly. Beer, Labatt USA, Buffalo, New York.
What's missing curfew? It's when you kind of play guilty, but you show up.
How nice is a green light on the road, though? No practice tomorrow, no plane, just go.
Scotty Upshaw in the clear, and he scores! Right in front, scores!
A few laughs, a little bit of fun, and obviously a lot of hockey talk.
You're listening to Missing Curfew.
It's all lads.
Up dog fella. How we doing, bud?
Good, buddy.
Get a nice golf shirt on, eh? What are you, playing today? Practice?
Yeah.
You know what?
I just felt, yeah, I actually am practicing.
You are?
Yeah,
what are you going to practice?
Yesterday, I practiced putting.
Putting.
Yeah, I got that new wand from Apple, and I rolled it yesterday. I went out and chipped. Fuck, I worked on my, Beachy gave me these tips with my chipping, and I mean, on fucking Sunday, I had six birdies. Master Sunday, six birdies.
I can't believe you played golf on Masters Sunday.
That's great.
What time did you get done at?
I got done at 12:30. A couple frozen margaritas later, and I was home by 1:30. I watched Scheffler was going to hole six.
Oh, so you missed it. You missed him scraping around. We'll save that.
No,
well,
I had it on my phone in the golf cart. It was great. It was fantastic.
How were the greens?
Greens were mint. The greens are great.
Mint?
Greens are great. Wow. But the game's coming good, and I worked on my game yesterday. TD saw me out there practicing. He knows that I must have a couple tournaments coming up because working on the little things, bud.
We're in the Cravens,
working
bud.
On the little things.
We're in the Cravens. We're officially in.
Good.
So now we got to. I got to start maybe sharpening up my game a little bit too. My chipping, my wedge game, and then I would suggest you work on hitting some 5-iron, 6-iron, 7-iron.
Because when I drive it,
you're going to be hitting probably.
Okay.
Instead of 9-irons, you're going to be hitting like 7-irons.
I get that. Ball striking. It's all about the ball striking.
Probably the odd 6-iron too, maybe. You know, if I hit one off the toe and she gets a little spitty. Updog, my man. Our friends at Life Force, baby. Listen, boys, if you're not out there doing Life Force, I think you're kind of cheating yourself a little bit here. Like we have, you know, you have these opportunities. They make it super easy. Listen, like I said, if I can sign up for it, anybody can sign up for it. They make it as easy as they can. I just had my second blood draw of the calendar season, and I got my results back, and I wanted to share it with my good buddy Updog. So, listen, quality of life. They gave me a 3 out of 5.
For do they know how you live your life? Because I think you live a great life.
Yeah. But
do they know you
fuck
golf Wednesday, Friday, and the odd Sunday?
If they would have saw me Friday night at whatever time, this would have been a 1.5 out of 5 living the quality of life I was that night. But listen up, dog. Then they got these longevity risks here. This is where a little reason for concern here, fella. So my dementia risk, very, very low risk, which is good. I think I got a pretty good memory for, you know, getting
some
conkies.
Yeah, you definitely did.
Now, listen up, dog. This is where it kind of gets cardiovascular risk. I'm at an elevated risk for that. Cancer risk, I'm at an elevated risk for that. Metabolic risk, which I'm not quite sure what that is, I'm at an elevated risk for that as well.
Metabolic.
So I'm either going to have a jammer or I'm going to get cancer. Right? Is that what they're saying or what?
No, I think, this is just bringing light to how your blood is now. It's not saying that this is, you know, when it says elevated, it's not like you're on the verge.
I'm not.
It just means like, okay, we're going to tune up on these, which is probably why they, you know, will ask you your daily habits, how you eat, how you, you know, do you get enough sleep?
You know, and then are you doing your screenings? Like getting screened for cancer, maybe that will just bring to light, okay, you know, I got to do these little things to screen myself from cancer, which is a couple, you know, you can do the colonoscopies. Now it's happening younger in men, right?
Bend over and touch your toes.
Well, right? No, I'm in all seriousness, you know, the colon thing is fucking crazy right now. But, you know, and at 40, it used to be 40, 45, they'd say get your first one. Well, now I think it doesn't hurt for you and I just turned 40 this year. You know, we should get them every couple years now.
Like, it's crazy how many people are getting cancer right now.
Yeah, no, in the last couple of years, I mean, personally, it's touched me in a lot of ways. I've had a lot of friends with some scares and some people battling it out right now. I don't need to say their names, but they know who you are. We're pulling for you. But, you know, it's a real thing. And then your heart, you know, talk about your heart. Your heart, you know, the cholesterol stuff. Cholesterol could be, you know, I mentioned this earlier to you, but... there's a way that cholesterol can kind of be misguided, right? And I'm not going to get into the biology of it all, but if you take fish oils, for example.
Like omega? Is that?
Yeah, omega.
I take 100%. Omega every morning.
How many pills?
3 big old horse pills.
Get another 3 and you later in the day. 6 total pills is probably the dynamic. The more fish oil you can. Yeah, but fuck it. Take a little more.
But at this rate, I need 6, don't I? Because I'm at the elevated risk level for having a jam.
So take a little more of that and then... You know,
if I haven't had a gym,
how's your testosterone? Let's talk.
Let's get to the good stuff. Yeah, okay, yeah, so boys, this is what I want to talk to the fellas out there, the Missing Curfew beauties. My testosterone when I started Life Force was 425.
Yeah,
which, fuck, that's as low as it can almost get. Yeah. That is at the bottom of the barrel.
Yeah,
right. So I started my Life Force, started taking all my vitamins, my fish oil. They started giving me some peptides, and they started putting me on these testosterone pills. In fuck ups 2 months, I went from 425 to 800. And now wonder I'm waking up with just flow again, boys. Like, just like I'm getting up for a morning piss and I'm looking down, I'm like, fella,
there's the guy.
I haven't seen you since 2010, bud. Yeah. How you been, bud?
Hey, thought I lost you. I lost that or something.
After that Western swing,
thought I left you in the hotel at the Westin there.
I thought that final Western swing with the Panthers and the Updog where it took you off the shelf permanently, bud. But there you are.
I'm glad to know you still exist.
Yeah, I mean, listen, I can feel it.
Yeah,
Miller enjoys me a lot more than she did when she first met me. But seriously, Updog, I feel like. I was a little bit shocked at some of these results because I feel really good. I feel really good since I've been on it. Now, they give you a life score. This looks a lot up like my scores I got in my high school tests. I got 57 out of 100, which to me, I don't know. I feel like I feel better than that. Maybe this is just like tighten up some stuff. I have my meeting with my doctor next week via Zoom. But Updog, one of the things I love most about this, bud, my biological age, 34 years old.
Attaboy.
So to me,
plus 6 years.
Yeah. So you know,
geez, for those who know you, you'd think you'd lost 6.
Yeah.
No, but you're getting it back.
I'm getting it back.
Good. You know, your complexion, it's great. You got a sick tan, but that's never changed.
Should I send this to my agent and be like, hey, listen, send this around to some teams here. Yeah. I'm 34 years old. The body feels 34.
This can only be a gun in the arsenal, but
I'd have to lose another. What am I? 275. I'd have to lose another. 50? No. What I got down to 240? What is that up? 35 pounds.
That's good. That's good. Yeah. What about your free testosterone? Do you know, you see that one? Whoa. Because for me, so my test went, my first test was March of 22. I was at 520. Then it went to 580 in September of 22. Then June of 23, it's up to 700. Thankfully, I'm getting there. It's half chub. Half chubs are there. Then I get to 1,200. I don't know. That might have been a fucked up test.
Your testosterone was 1,200?
1,200 at one point. Then it went back down to 500 2 months ago. So it had to be. My doctor said, what the hell is going on?
Were you on a fellow tour? Come back from a fellow
tour?
Yeah,
no. I think they were just like, is it, you know, is there stress involved? Are you sleeping well? Like, are you on your, you know, have you been doing any of your replacement therapy? And at this time, I had kind of been off it. I'd kind of been, you know, messing around.
Yeah, so Updog, when we were talking about cholesterol, this is the stuff Billy Quinn was telling me about. Your HDL cholesterol, your VLDL cholesterol.
LDL.
But LDL. Those are good for me. I'm in the green on both of those, 64, 14. And then testosterone, I was 436, and now I'm 815. Sex hormone, 37.6, right in the green.
I got 39. I got you on the sex hormone.
Well, that's been our whole career. Anyone can beat Updog in the sex hormone, give me a buzz. We'll send you some fucking
free swag.
We'll send you some free swag. But in all honesty, for the fellas out there, listen, it's springtime. Summer's right around the corner. Get out there. Try it out. They're great to us. It's super easy. Life Force, baby. It's good stuff up, dog. So, UFC 300, it didn't disappoint. I love that you're at home watching it. What'd you think, buddy?
Sure was. Yeah. What did I think? I thought that the UFC, you know, they are, they're a staple now of entertainment. I couldn't stop watching it. I had, you know, friends and family over. We cooked, did smash burgers. We came out, and then I sat on that couch. I watched it with Beckham. I don't know if that you're supposed to watch.
Yeah,
it.
Yeah, you are.
Son. But I was like, fighting. And he was loving it. He was, you know, what do I, geez, the takeaway, the Max Holloway knockout was insane. I actually bet Gaethje on that. I don't know. I didn't know too much, but I thought Holloway was a guy that, you know, he hangs in there. He takes a beating, but he's never kind of goes down. Like never gets knocked out.
He was
right?
Too quick for Gaethje.
But fucking Gaethje was always, he's always kind of stuck it to me.
Listen, you weren't the only one. Everyone thought Gaethje was going to win that fight.
Yeah, he was favored.
But what was the turning point in that fight is when, at the end of the first round, Holloway fucking healed him right in the nose.
I know.
And Gaethje's got a bad beak to begin with. Him and me both. But he had his nose fucked up. He got it redone. And I just think you could see him in the second round. He couldn't get going. And then he tried. And then Holloway was just peppering him. I mean, Max Holloway is arguably the best boxer in the UFC. He looked big. He looked almost bigger than Gaethje, which was shocking to me. And Gaethje couldn't quite get him. For Max Holloway to go, like, let's go right in the middle of the ring, and they just started, I mean, you got to think Gaethje's probably thinking, if I didn't do that, I would have lost the fight, but, you know, now it's going to go down as arguably the best knockout in UFC history.
That's crazy.
Crazy.
Huh?
Crazy.
With 1 second left.
He was out cold.
Yeah.
Like, anytime your face is on the mat.
Yeah, you're just looking for air. I know. God.
I'll tell you what, though, I was thinking about you, because we talked about UFC 300 back in the day. And for the fight bonuses, you said Dana White should give them $1 million.
Yes.
Well, he almost got there for you. He bumped them up to 300,000. They're usually 50 grand.
Yeah.
So Max Holloway walked away with $600,000 that night.
And
on top of his fight, whatever.
This is what I think of the top fight of the night, right? You get 300, right? Top fight and best.
Typically, you get 50 grand.
I know, but why isn't the other guy get the top fight too?
So fight of the night, they both get it.
Oh, they do. Okay.
Yeah.
So Gaethje got 300.
Holloway got performer of the night too.
Oh, well, no shit.
Yeah. Gaethje gets 300. Holloway gets 600. Yuri Prosky gets 300.
I thought that's great.
Yeah. But hey, I think you were the one that stirred the pot.
I know. Well, I just think they make so much goddamn money. And if you don't know that, just have a look at all the people in the crowd.
Yeah.
Have a look at how many people sat on their couch at home and, you know, just talked about it online. It was just, it was nuts.
It was a
thing to do on Saturday. You know, there was the Masters and it went right into that. I love that there was a 3 o'clock start for all the prelims. And I love that if you were on the East Coast and you wanted to watch, you know, Alex Pereira fight, you stayed up till 2 a.m. It's crazy. I think the last fight was over at 11.
Yeah. If you're on the East Coast, UFC, it ruins your whole night. You can't do anything else.
Yeah.
But I just thought after the Max Holloway fight, and Dana White touched on this in his press conference, that it just sucked. Everyone after that, like the girl fight was whatever, and then Pereira knocks out Hill in the first round, but it just felt like after that knockout, everybody was kind of just like, oh my God. And it's tough to go back out after that.
That kickboxer chick who just her first fight in the UFC, she is a beast.
Oh, Harrison?
Oh my God. The girl that she is just jacked.
Yeah, she's not a kickboxer. She's a
judo girl?
Yes.
Judo.
So you know who the first judo girl was Ronda Rousey.
It was.
Yeah. So these judo girls, they come in and just grab these. She fought Holly Holmes, who is a Hall of Fame boxer and a Hall of Fame mixed martial artist, and she just ragdolled her.
Oh, my God. So judo's all about, like, grappling to the ground.
They trip you.
No punching.
They trip you.
And then they squeeze you. Yeah, like an anaconda.
Yeah, they squeeze you. I mean, remember Ronda just used to get these girls, hip toss them, take them down, arm bar, fight over.
Scissor action.
Yeah. It was unbelievable. Listen, we got Poirier and Islam at UFC 302 in Frosty's backyard, and then fighting Chandler and my Irish brother McGregor's back, baby. June 29th, T-Mobile Arena. I will be there. It's the same week as the NHL Awards, too. Could be just a good old-fashioned few days there in Las Vegas.
I bet.
Yeah.
I bet.
It's going to be awesome. It's nice to see Connor back, fella.
Yeah.
It's nice to see him back. I do want to say, I didn't understand why the NHL on Masters Sunday through Vegas and Colorado at like a afternoon tilt on a Sunday of Masters. Like, that's a two good teams. Why would you do that?
I don't know.
Yeah. Because I'm just like, who in the ring?
For guys like me, I got three TVs in my backyard, so it's nice. It's ideal.
Yeah, but you can't
keep the volume.
You can't watch.
No, I know, but I mean.
It's there, but you're not watching it.
Totally. Yeah. There's a lot of things the NHL does, bud, that we talk about a lot that we question.
I didn't quite get that one.
Yeah.
Shout out to Dennis Shannon. I went to the last home game. I went to watch Wigsy Baby and the Flames play.
Hubie.
Dennis Shannon asked me, just like mid, you know, second period, "Hey, Obes, what's the difference between a cookie and an apple?" And I'm like, that's great, Dennis. I'm just a good Southern California guy. I go, an apple is an assist, and a cookie is just a guy that's always looking to get points.
Cookie monster.
He's a cookie monster.
Oh, yeah, score goals, like, he'd chase.
Always sniff at like the offensive sniffing. Side.
Yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So that's the difference, Denny, if you're wondering, buddy. But his seats, I'll be, I mean, you get appreciation for, you know, we're going to talk about Nazem Kadri later and get this guy a beer, but, like, watching him play down low and, you know, he's such a great player. And then you see, you know, Wheezy Baby making these little plays, and you get a true appreciation for how fast it is. I still don't get, maybe because these guys are done and the season's over, but they come, skate 100 miles an hour into the corner. They're right there to hit the guy, and they just skate away. That's... And I told Dennis, I'm like, Uppy would have fucking finished that check.
Loophole. 10 out of 10.
10 out of 10. You skate all 10. That way, and you're a stride from him, and then you don't hit him? I don't get it. It doesn't make sense to me. I don't care if it's the last
game. Well, they don't know how to hit. Yeah, a lot of those guys who don't do that, they might try to hit the guy and get bounced off and then lose their position and then get beat up the ice, right? Yeah. You can't get beat up the ice, but that's why you hit the guy.
Totally.
So you finish him and make sure he falls to the ground. Yeah. Fuck, give him a little shot.
You skate all that way. You circle back.
I'd love to just have one more chance to just run someone through the fucking...
I guess it's the old stay above the puck thing, maybe, right?
No, it is. It's all about that. But stay still doesn't mean you can hit the fucking guy.
Yeah. As long as he doesn't get past you, technically it's still above the puck, right? If he's laying on the ice and the puck's there and you're between him and the puck, you're still above him.
I tell you what, in a week, you're going to see guys finish.
I should hope so.
First round of the playoffs, every hit counts. Every body check laid on a D will be, you know, a tool in your shed.
A tool in your shed.
Tool in your shed.
Used to say he's got all the tools, but no tool shed. Hey, all the tools, but no tool shed. Up dog, we're right back here. Mr. Fella. We got to talk about Jägermeister. No chirping, no running its mouth. Let's just talk about the confidence on these guys.
Our friends at Jägermeister sent us this ad read to read on the show, fella. But they're confident that they said, don't do any of that normal ad stuff. Tell the listeners two things. Jägermeister's great, and everyone's been drinking it wrong. Well, if that's the case, how the hell do you think we should be drinking it?
Up dog, that's a great question. Ice cold, fella. At 0 degrees Fahrenheit, to be exact. Ice cold shots of Jägermeister. That's it, my man. That's all they want to tell you. Damn, that's cold.
Just remember to check out Jägermeister at www.draftkingsxjagermeister.com. Drink responsibly. Jägermeister Liqueur, 35% alcohol by volume. Imported by Mast Jägermeister U.S. White Plains, New York.
Curfew. Welcome back to Mr. Curfew, Bella. Up Dog. Masters Recap presented by Adidas Golf. Made for wherever you play, fellas. Listen, Adidas Golf, they got Ludwig Åberg. I'll tell you what, that's a nice guy to have in your, you know, sign, wearing your gear, because A, I think he's a Swedish model.
Yeah, I was going to say, he's good looking.
Good looking.
I wasn't sure where you're going to go.
If I had any advice for this kid, I would say stay single.
I don't think he is. I think I showed his girlfriend on the TV. I think so. I think they did.
Shit.
And yeah,
she's,
I think,
probably a Swedish rocket boat. So that's always cute. But I think this guy's got the world by the balls, man. His swing is so good. Good looking kid.
Tall.
Swedish people are the nicest people in the world. I just think he could really, you know, go through the list of the hottest girls in the world right now and probably, you know, meet a few of them.
Just a young Jesper out there.
Right? Yeah, I do. Remember Jesper used to have the brim straight up? But Masters recap, Up Dog, what'd you think? Was playing tough out there.
It sure was. What would I think? I mean, the Masters is just the best weekend. It's the best weekend of the year. It's a weekend that everyone, you know, really zones in on golf. Everyone works on their golf game. Everyone thinks that for 1 second you might have a chance to be a good golfer. Scottie Scheffler proved to me and the world that he, you know, he can step up and just, he's taken this thing to another level, Obes. I think no one's really done that since, you know, Koepka had a stretch probably 3-4 years ago. You look back when Rory was doing his thing, and then you look previous to that, I think there's only been Tiger who really, you know, gets favored for these big events and steps up to the occasion. So Scottie Scheffler, I mean, what a run. Max Homa, our boy from here, a great showing, a guy that, you know, through his personality and through his online presence really gets, you get to have a good dive in what it's like to be in the head of a pro golfer in a tournament like this. And I love him for that.
you know, our boy Keegan, who came on last week, tied for 22nd. Not too bad. Good showing.
I made the cut. I was like, fuck, we need Keegs to make the cut. And it bumped up on the Friday's playing. So goddamn windy out there that he got in there. And they played pretty good over the weekend.
Totally.
I think it was a curfew bump. Once his pod came out, I think he started feeling good.
I know. He's a special guy. And then, you know, we can touch on Tiger, but Tiger, coming out. And he just, towards the end, it is what it is. But Tiger Woods making the cut, playing well the first couple rounds. Like he stayed in around par. Not easy to do. The first day, if you watched him on 18 with Max Homa, the wind coming out of the bunker was throwing sand all over him. He's got fucking 8-footer for par. And he steps up, waits for the sand to just blister him in the face, steps up, makes an incredible putt, and just Tiger-esque, like right in the heart, you know, walking off as a, you know, I think he shot 1-under that day. It's just special. So it was just nice to see him compete.
Yeah, it was. And you know what? I thought on Thursday and Friday, some of his chips were just unbelievable.
Yeah.
He knows that place in the back of his head.
Would he chip in on Saturday, too?
He got up and down everywhere to make the cut. He made me 1,000. I put 1,000 on old Tiger to make the cut. That's the record, 24 straight cuts for Tiger when he played. I got to be honest, though, watched him play Saturday. It hurt my soul a little bit. You know, he goes out there and shoots 82, hitting the ball like I was hitting it. I'm just like, man, I love you, Tiger. We're just getting cheated out of. But I'll tell you what was cool, Uppy, and you know, you talk about watching the UFC fights with Beckham. Charlie and him are on the range on Sunday. Charlie working on his swing with them. Yeah. Those two guys just hanging out on the range. I'm like, first of all, how cool would it be to be Tiger Woods' kid?
Totally.
Good bounce.
Yeah.
But it seems like this kid's got it figured out. Like, he seems like he's cool, and everybody that talks about him, it's Justin Thomas or Noah Begay, guys that know Tiger, are saying, this kid's a cool kid, and he looked cool on the range hanging out with his dad.
Yeah.
Hey, Dad, get the club here. You got to put it here. I'm like, holy shit, that's unreal.
Yeah. I mean, he's learned from the best, and it wasn't too long ago, 2019, that Tiger won, and you know, you look back, that kid remembers that.
For sure.
He's probably 9, he's probably 8.
He was waiting for him at the
green. Totally, yeah. And that brought a tear to my eye that moment, because, you know, a lot of these kids don't get to see their dad in the element that they are. You know, my element. Beckham might not ever see a dog score an OT win against Tim Thomas, fucking one hand Peter Forsberg.
That's what YouTube's for.
Yeah, no, I know, but that, you know, seeing that and him be of age to remember is special. And now just him fucking working on the swing on the range on Sunday with his dad.
Yeah.
And who knows for how long.
Our kid, your kids, I mean, they'll know, but they never saw you play, right? They're not going to remember.
They'll never know.
They'll never know.
Really hard.
But you, I mean, it's what we, you know, we sacrificed that for some other things.
Totally.
But I know what you're saying.
We sure did.
Like when I see Factor's kids at the games, when his wife posts something, I'm like, oh, that's so cool, right? He's got his 3 kids there. He's about to have another one. I'm like, that's cool.
Yeah.
They all got a rally.
Yeah, the oldest one's like 8, 9, right?
Yeah.
Starting to remember things and want to be like his dad.
I will say this about Scottie Scheffler, who I'm not going to fuck up his name anymore because he's putting up Tiger-like stuff. He won that Masters without his A game.
Saturday, Sunday, he didn't play great.
If he would have played well, he would have won by 8 shots. I mean, he wasn't ball striking like he normally does. His short game was unbelievable. He putted well. But to me, if I'm the other guys around the tour, that scares me. If he can win the Masters not playing his best by 4 or 5 shots, or whatever he won by, 4 shots, it's crazy to me. And like, I had to think, like, Scheffler against Tiger in his prime, Tiger still whacks him, right? Just on pure intimidation.
The Tiger waxes
him. Tiger waxes him.
And like, it's a different game back then, too. It's all about, you know, these huge pressure shots with clubs that aren't as forgiving, with drivers that don't hit the ball as far, with, you know, with other legends that are stepping up to the plate. It's a different game.
I just think Tiger would have walked out there like,
you know, stared him
cock down, hanging down, and just looked at it.
Totally.
Scheffler would have been like, oh, my God.
Yeah, oh, yeah.
But what he's doing is unbelievable. At first, I was like, this guy's hard to cheer for, right? He, you know, looks like he's 40. You know, he's not that entertaining. At first I wasn't, but now I'm just starting to appreciate, A, how good of a guy he is.
Yeah.
Right? His speech at the end where he went down the line of his team and his family and, you know, telling his wife he'd be home soon and thanking the guys in the clubhouse that kept the cold tub open for him on Saturday after he's, I'm like, dude, this guy, he's just a good guy. And when you see greatness, you got to appreciate it. And we're going to see it, man. And we're seeing it right now. As for our boy Max Homa, great week for Max. You got to think that shot on 12, he just tugged it a smidge, right?
Yeah.
He's just trying to hit that little cutty, which he was hitting all week, to land in the middle of the green there. And I know this feeling up. You just tug it a bit, and it just bad bounce off the back, and then it was,
You know, Obes, Keegs was on talking about the mental aspect and how tired things get when all you're doing is calculating shots. But when you put yourself at Augusta National on a weekend, when you have to think about the wind
and where the pin is and missing a shot 5 feet of the pin like Max did and it going completely into the grandstands and being, and then you're trying to get up and down from an impossible place. The only way you can chip it is on the ground. You can't come high. Like all these things going through your mind, it's tiring. So to the guys that hang in there to the very end and to a guy like Scheffler, it's top. It's the weekend that you have to be at your best. And what you said about just him winning by four shots and not being great, it's so much. And when you just look down the like Colin Morikawa, he played well all week, and then just you can tell it just was too much on him.
Yeah, he got cute on nine, right? Trying to get cute, just got to get that out of the bunker. If you make five at nine, no big deal. And then him and Aberg tugged it on 11. You can't miss left, like obviously as we all know. But those are just mistakes that seem to happen on the back nine. You're talking about Tiger when he won in 2019. It was Koepka and Finau and somebody else that all hit in the water on 12. Tiger gets up there, hits it right in the middle of the green. Same where Scheffler did. Boom, right there. Made his par and went up winning the tournament. It's crazy how that Sunday at Amen Corner there, just guys must just start being like, oh my God, I got this. Fuck.
Wild, yeah.
Speaking of got this, Updog won our OG Newport pool for 100 a man. If you would have switched teams, if you would have switched pools, we had another big boy pool that I called Masters A with Cody and Loops and Mac L, K-Wash, and Flowers invited some buddies. And Flowers' buddy cost me Updog. I finished second.
Sean Handler.
Fucking Flowers.
Philly legend.
God.
I know.
Big money that one was.
That was $7,000.
$7,500.
Damn.
Yeah, I know.
Good for him.
Good thing I made the rule right before the night before. C-Note's like, well, winner take all. I'm like, second place gets his money's back.
Did you get second?
Yeah, I got second.
Wow. Congrats. Yeah,
thanks, buddy.
What'd you lose by? How many?
I lost by two shots.
Two?
One shot.
That's not bad.
You know who screwed me is Will Zalatoris, who he had. We both had Scheffler. I had Cameron Smith. He had Cameron Young. We both had Patrick Reed, and he had Will Zalatoris. And he played good on Sunday. I think he shot like 300. At one point, I was leading. On the front nine, I was up by one shot. Great weekend, Masters Week. Thanks to our good friends at Adidas Golf. By the way, check out their gear, man. They got some new stuff looking good. Aberg's rolling it out there. Next is the PGA at Valhalla.
Sweet.
Kentucky. That's where Tiger and Bob May went toe-to-toe. Remember, Tiger hit that putt and followed it right in? And then...
Fuck yeah. Hell yeah. My morning jacket, man. We go see Louisville.
We got my morning jacket coming up.
Saturday,
Jimmy.
Redondo, Jimmy.
DraftKings bets, fella. Listen, last night the Oilers, Uppy, we should have flew to Vegas, put everything. You should have put your house for sale. I should have emptied out all my stocks and bonds that are just plummeting in the goddamn stock market, and we should have put on the Oilers Sharks. Listen, I felt sorry for the kid in net for the Sharks.
Cooley. Yeah.
God, I think it was his first game, too. He got smoked, but that was a lock of all locks. But I laughed. You got the Oilers at. What'd you get him at about the second period?
I took him at minus 570 or whatever to start the game.
Yeah.
And then I took him at minus...
7.5 goals.
4.5, right? It was minus... No, they had to win by 3.5. So I took that after it was 2-0. And so then I win that. And then they're up 7-0. 7-1.
Yeah.
They're up 8-1.
The one goal they got was a stinker. Skinner, fuck, it was down there. I don't blame him. He's just down there snoozing.
They're up 8-1 in the middle of the second, and I take them to win by 7.5. So they need to score more goal. They do. It's 9-1.
Yeah.
Then in the middle of the third, they get a doozer, and it's fucking 9-2. But I still think for some reason I got it locked up. I was happy. And then at the end of the game, I'm like, did I really lose that by a half point? Like, I felt like I should have bought the point down. Like
I just, football. When you text that, that's you text me, you're like, oh, Olbs, I just put him in at 7.5. I'm like, fucking Cowboys versus Giants, eh? I got the Cowboys 7.5, boys. That's how big of a mismatch that game was last night. And we're going to get into Milk Carton about, playoffs and these last couple weeks of the regular season. But that was a lock of all likes. I took the Oilers money line, puck line, every which way you could take them. And then another one, I almost took the Red Wings at home against the Canadiens. But the Canadians are playing hard, and I just didn't touch. I didn't trust the Red Wings. I turned it on. It was 4-2. Watched it for a bit. The Red Wings looked dead in the water. I thought their season was over. Third period, they come back and went 5-4 in overtime to stay alive. So you got to give those guys credit. I've been hard on them all year about I just don't know how much jam, and I don't want to say character because Larkin and Fabs, and they got Showtime in there. They got character, right? But I just didn't know if they were tough enough to get in. But that was a big-time character win. If you had money on them, that's one that comes back and you feel real good. But I just thought that was a great, great win by the Red Wings up dog.
No, it was, buddy. And, you know, to jump on the fact that, you know, they get two late goals and in fashion, you know, in complete fashion, rally from down three in the game. It's, you know, it is what it is. Yeah. So there was a tweet yesterday. And what was I going to say? The fucking top seed in the West is still up for hours, still up for grabs. Atlantic Division, Boston or Florida still up for grabs. Pacific Division title, Vancouver or Edmonton still up for grabs. And then four teams vying for that final wildcard spot, buddy. Wash, Detroit, Pitt, and Philly. Phillies, they need help.
Philly's
they
done.
Need to win, and they need all the teams to lose.
Yeah, they're done. I'll tell you what. Another one in the West is Vegas and L.A. Either you're going to play the Oilers.
Yep. Third
or
place
you're
in Pacific are up. Yep.
Who would you rather play? Would you rather play the Edmonton Oilers or the Dallas Stars?
If you're
the Vegas Golden Knights, yeah. Who would you rather play?
I would rather play the Dallas Stars.
You would?
Yeah. Although I think Dallas is built for playoffs.
Yeah, I don't know.
Big. I think they're good. They got depth at forward. They got fucking Tanev, who's playing unbelievable on the back end.
I know.
You got Heskinen, and then you got if the kid kicks, which he has in the playoffs. He's kicked in the playoffs before for them.
I'd have no problem with Dallas, except for I got no money on them.
But do you want to play the Oil?
Them at plus 850 right now to win the cup is probably not a bad bet, by the way. I don't know. I mean, I think Vegas healthy, Hill and Net, Stone's coming back, which we're going to get to. I don't know. If I'm the Oilers, I want the LA Kings. I don't want any part of the Vegas Golden Knights. And I'm watching the Oilers play last night, and I'm like, wow, this team looks like they're just going to, you know, they're going to go all the way. And then Nurse at the blue line, puck bounces over stick, guy gets a breakaway. I'm like, if that happens in the playoffs, and that goal goes in, that could be the difference between winning and losing.
Yeah.
Bouchard, he's got his 80s point last night. I know. I'm still like, I don't know, dude. 80
points.
80 points. Offensively, he's unbelievable. I mean, if I could shoot like Bouchard, I'd be living at Chileno Bay. Yeah. I mean, just defensively, bend your knees, kid. Get your stick under sticks. I don't know. I would love Connor McDavid and Leon Draisaitl to win a Stanley Cup. I would love to go to Edmonton for the Stanley Cup final. I hope they prove me wrong.
Yeah.
And this, I got no money on them for the first time in 3 years, so they probably will prove me
What's
wrong.
What's the line on it? I got to look that up right now.
I don't know. They're plus 1,000 or something probably to win it or something.
Yeah, it's got to be more than that, right?
I'm not sure. Check it out, bud.
Edmonton Oilers only plus 750. Are they favored to come out?
That would be the favorite, wouldn't it? Yeah. It's got to be.
700, Florida Panthers, 650, Carolina, Colorado's plus 700.
I'm worried about Colorado. I am really, 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 really worried about Colorado. They got to play the Jets, and they're not going to get home ice by the looks of it. I don't know. Every other year since we've been doing this podcast, I've had a good feeling going into playoffs. I really don't know. I mean, Carolina, Florida, I got money on those.
Tampa guys, Bay plus 2,500.
Right now, Tampa would play... they would play the New York. Nope, they would play the Boston Bruins. I don't know. I might have to tickle Tampa on that one. We'll save that for the preview show, fella. But DraftKings, baby, get out there, boys. Best time of year to bet on, fellas. Labatt Blue USA. Lots of things are better together. Hockey and Labatt Blue. Golf and Labatt Blue. Barbecuing with an ice cold Labatt Blue. But if you really want to take things to the next level, drink some Labatt Blue Lights with your friends and live life to the power of we. Always enjoy responsibly. Beer, Labatt USA, Buffalo, New York. Hockey, up dog, the missing curfew.
Oh, oh,
dog of the week, fella. Shout out to Jeremy Lazan of the Smashville Predators. NHL single season hits. Fuck, he had 9 hits on Monday against the Penguins.
That's nuts.
383 hits.
Fucking get in the cold tub, bud.
That is unbelievable. I sit here and complain about the lack of physicality in the NHL. I obviously haven't watched enough Smashville games. But to him, good on you, buddy. Big defenseman plays the right way. That is a ton of hits up, dog. That is a ton of hits.
I think he took the record from Matt Martin.
Yeah, Matt Martin had 382.
Cal Clutterbuck before.
Oh, that guy was just a menace.
Matt Martin, he moves that fast to get all those hits.
Well, he's not worried about the puck, right?
That's true.
So when you're not worried about the puck.
I wasn't either. Nor were
too.
You.
Me too. Me
Other too. Than fighting it.
There's nothing wrong with not being worried about the puck, by the way.
No, I Especially know.
Especially this time of year.
We need more guys like that.
This is when you just get out there and start running guys. But that is a lot of hits. 383 hits. Jeremy Lazan.
Oh,
Mr. Curfew. Dog of the week, fella. Get this guy, Labatt Blue.
Presented by Labatt Blue Light, the pristine pilsner. Enjoy your beers, fellas, together so you can live life to the power of we. Always enjoy responsibly. Beer Labatt USA in Buffalo, New York.
Nice, boys. Get this guy, Labatt Blue. Some love for Nazem Kadri, a guy who Loops absolutely loved playing with. I went and watched him play live the other night. Anyways, it was his 900th NHL game for Naz. And watching him up close and playing, you know, they're out of the playoffs. He's got a Stanley Cup. He's got a big, long ticket. He could have just taken that game off and Nobody would have said anything. He played hard. He played great. I love the way he plays. I love that. We all know what happened in the playoffs, right? 3 years in a row or whatever, taking guys' heads off.
Oh, he took them off. They had to get stick. The other one with his shoulder, but yeah.
And they had to trade him, and they traded him to Colorado for Tyson Barrie. And I'll tell you what, the Avs are not the same since he's left town. The Avs would, you know, I love Ross Colton. I love Miles Wood. Mittelstadt's been all right, but still, like, when Kadri was their second-line center and they had Landeskog in that lineup, that team was obviously a wagon. They went out to win. But for college, congratulations, 900 games up, dog. He plays the game the right way.
Absolutely.
And then I'm going to give some love to the Winnipeg Jets. They went in, cost me some cheddar. This was a statement. Nobody goes into Ball Arena and does this. Nobody all year. They went in and beat the Colorado Avalanche 7-0. Georgiev, I'm just worried about this guy's game. Like, he's been good all year. In the last month and a half, he's been terrible. To the Winnipeg Jets, get yourself a Labatt Blue, going in there and just laying the wood to the Colorado Avalanche 7-0. That's Avs are one of the best home team in the league.
The best home team, yeah. And I took the under in that game 6. It was 4-0. 4-0 Winnipeg in the first 12 minutes. I text you, I'm like, can you believe this? I never bet unders. I bet the under. Oh, and it just, you're like, yeah, I got the Avs. I'm like, corn dogs.
It looks like they're gonna play in that first round, and I don't know what to expect, man.
Yeah.
The Jets with home ice. They got Hollebach.
And that barn. Hopefully the fans are showing up.
And I'm here, and 92 is not even close.
Landon. Yeah.
Not even close.
No, he shouldn't rush it.
Nah, it's his knee, man.
His fucking knees. If he's not close, he's not close. It's not broken hand. It's the new cartilage in the old fucking kneecap. So.
Yeah. I was just like, selfishly, I love you, Landy, but selfishly, I was like, God, that would be nice to see. Imagine he came out game one, how much energy that would bring the whole team and the city and everything.
I agree.
And I got him at the start of the year at fucking 1,010.
Can't believe he's missed the whole year. He's been missed.
He's missed 2 years.
I know. Well, yeah.
It's crazy. Yeah. It's crazy. Landy, we're always thinking about you, buddy. Vegas, they're in. I would just say look out. Hurdle got his first goal. Get these guys Labatt Blue. They've been there. They're defending Stanley Cup champs. Hill's back. I'm giving those guys Labatt Blue because I wouldn't want to play them in the playoffs.
No, absolutely. Petro's coming back. It's a squad now. You don't want to.
What's been going on?
Who knows?
Petro.
Rest. Who knows? Well, he's played a lot of hockey.
He keeps saying an illness.
Really?
Yeah, he can't be that sick. Something's got to be going on. Like, I hope it's nothing with his family or anything like that, but you got to think.
I'm not sure.
He's been listed as sick for 2 weeks.
Really?
Yeah, so. But yeah, they're ready to rock. I'm telling you. So we'll see what happens there with them. But get those boys in the bat, please.
Absolutely. And some love for our boy Erik Karlsson. 1,000 games in the National Hockey League. 189 goals, 627 assists. Between three squads, as we know, the Senators, what a career at the San Jose Sharks, not so much. And then now the Penguins, 55 points this year, boys, in 81 games. Hall of Fame guy to me. Well-liked amongst his teammates and other players in the league. He's got Pittsburgh back into, you know, a spot right now to get in the playoffs. Obi, between him and Letang, we didn't know how this dynamic would work. It's paid off now in the last month and a half of the season. Will they get in? We don't know, but it'd be nice to see Erik Karlsson with 1,000 games playing the playoffs. I'd love to see him and Sid out there snapping it around.
I'm pulling for them to get in.
Yeah.
I'm pulling for them to get in. Listen, Karlsson had one of the sickest apples last night. Fake clapper and fake clapper, and as he was fake clappering it, like just one motion, back door to the guy. The guy ripped it one timer, and Soros had no chance. Anytime I think about Karlsson, I just remember what Loops used to say when he played against him in Ottawa, like how good he was defensively and a nightmare to play against, and always had the puck. And he's obviously not the same player he was back then in his prime. But 1,000 games, he made a couple little plays last night too, where he just flipped it out with some touch and stuff like that. I mean. And he plays the game with a chewing, which is crazy. That's unbelievable. But yeah, I hope they get in, up dog.
Yeah.
If they don't, it will be that stretch of a month and a half, or, you know, after the All-Star break that they were just terrible. But
last but not least for me, Connor McDavid, 100 apples. Last night, there you go, Dennis Shannon. An apple is a lot of them in Connor McDavid's pocket this year. The fourth ever player in NHL history. Gretzky did 11 times. Not a big deal. And Mario Lemieux and Bobby Orr. Listen, 32 goals, 100 apples. He missed some time at the start of the year with a bad hip, it looked like. He wasn't himself. Well, he got his game going midway, and has he been on fucking an absolute tear? What he's done is made a debauchery of the league. And him elevating his game the last couple of years, Obi, if you look down and you watch other players, you watch Kucherov, you watch Pasternak, you watch even his line mate Draisaitl, they've elevated their game to a whole other level. The NHL's gotten better with Connor leading the charge, so hats off to Connor for that. Watching him play last night, you can tell he was excited to get milestone.
Did you see him come out for warm-up?
Yeah, he was flying.
Oh, my God. They showed him coming out. His first five steps was just like, I've never seen anything like it. I'm like, this guy's ready to go.
Yeah.
I'm glad I got money on this guy. First shift, just
15 seconds in.
Yeah, he was flying.
I know.
Flying.
I know. No, and he's happy. He's in a good spot right now. He's not, he'll be serious, Connor, come next week when playoffs time starts. But right now, I think he's soaked in just the season that he had. He got his team out of a slump, new coach.
Crazy,
he's got his team back to where they need to be. Fuck, they're even chasing the Western Conference fucking title for a while.
I mean, he might have got 200 points if they didn't start off so shitty.
I know.
He was hurt the whole first month of the season. He's playing hurt.
Completely.
I mean, listen, first of all, to the Oilers fans, good on you. Last night when he got his 100th apple, they gave him a big-time standing ovation.
Yeah.
That's good. You want to make sure that he knows how much you guys appreciate this, because if they still don't have the playoff success that they want, we'll see what happens there. But for me, Updog, last year they talked about, he didn't shoot the puck. What's he do? He comes out, gets 64 goals, and wins the Rocket Richard. This year he says, you know what? Fuck it. I'm going to just get 100 apples. Like, there's times in the game where he could shoot it this year, and he just...
Yeah.
I mean, that's when you're that good. I guarantee, if you asked him, I don't guarantee, but I'm curious, I guess, like, did you think you'd get 100 apples this year? Do you say, I'm going to go out there and get 100 apples? Like, last year, I'm going to shoot the puck and prove I can score goals. Like, he's just so good, man.
Yeah.
It's just
crazy. He's like the Scotty Scheffler right now. It's like, do you know you can just go win playing half-ass?
Yeah.
Was it a goal of yours? Like, it'd be nice to get inside his head at the start of the year and be like, what is your goal this year?
Yeah.
Like, if last year it was to shoot because people said you need to shoot more and you did, you got 64, why don't you just say you're going to do that every year? 64 goals should help your team get to where it needs to be, but maybe it didn't last year. So now he's back on, Zach Hyman, keep your stick on the ice.
Yeah, Hyman.
You're going to get 60.
Zach Hyman's the man that got that reward the most from these 100 apples.
Yari Curry of the Edmonton Oilers.
Even the 100 apple was the year in a nutshell. Hyman, smart. Like Uppy always says, go to the blue pink, stick on the ice, McDavid, toe drag, back door. Fuck, I could have buried that one. It was just like...
I will give some credit last night to the fourth line of the Oilers. Corey Perry, Holloway. This Holloway kid came back and played awesome. He scored goals. He made great plays. He kept the puck alive. If that team can get, that line chipping in with a couple goals, you're not going to play the San Jose Sharks in the playoffs. But if you can chip in and shut the other team down and play like that, good on you.
Yeah. So. Well, listen, Dad, technically last night was their third line, but Kane didn't play, right? Fogle had an unbelievable game.
Yeah.
So they put Adam Henrik up on the left side with McDavid and Hyman. They look really good. Drysdale, Nugent Hopkins, it will be Kane. Now you
that
got
was Fogle, right?
Yeah. Last night, you got McLeod, Holloway, Perry. You probably bump, Connor Brown's out of the lineup. You probably bump Holloway down to the fourth line and go Fogle, McLeod, Perry. I mean, up front, they got the best depth they've ever had. It's the back end to me and their goaltending that's going to be the difference.
Yeah.
If they can do it. But the other thing about Connor real quick is, like, he plays hard every night.
Yeah, he does.
Like, I've never seen him not come out and just fucking go 100 miles an hour and play hard and fucking be focused.
I know.
If I was that good, I'd be...
Specimen. No, he's a specimen.
Look at the crowd. Hey.
No, if you look at Kucherov, he relies on his skill alone, right? Sid, like,
yeah.
Sid, you could say too. Sid plays hard every night. You really can say that. Playing against him and watching him now the last 6 years, Sid plays hard every night, but... does Malkin? No. But you know what I mean? It's like there are certain guys that just keep their level of play up and their pace of play, and it's special impressive. To watch. Yeah.
Last but not least, Patty Waugh. Get yourself a Labatt Blue. Guarantee this guy loves Labatt Blue. He got the Islanders in. They were dead in the water when they hired Patty. They're 8-1-1 in their last 10. And unfortunately, it's going to be the Carolina Hurricanes and the New York Islanders again in the first round, which... The ratings for that one may not be exactly through the roof, but I do love the Hurricanes fans. I love their team. I'm going to hammer the Hurricanes in that series. But Patty Waugh, good on you. Way to get those boys in the dance. Get yourself on the bat blue,
fella.
Up, dog. It's milk carton time, fella. It is milk carton time here. I'm missing curfew. And I'm going to throw the NHL in the milk carton again here. What are we sitting here, Uppy? It's April 16th. We're going into the second week of Coachella. These guys that missed the playoffs can't even go to Coachella.
That's a joke.
I'm last night watching Connor McDavid play against the San Jose Sharks team that should be in the American League. And I'm thinking, why are the playoffs not starting this week? Like, they got to find a way, shorten training camp. We should not be playing regular season games halfway into April here. Let's get her fucking going. Shorten training camp. Find a way to get maybe April 1 or at least the first week of April. Season's over. It's playoff time right now. There's no way we should be watching regular season games right now.
No, there's not. And this is the first year, I think, ever in the history that the NBA playoffs will start before us. And I don't know if it's strategy for TV or what the case is. But this has always been the week. And in fact, you know, my brother's birthday is just around the corner. Big Brento, he's going to turn 38 on...
Captain.
Listen, he's turning 38 on April 18th. And that's been already a week into the playoffs usually. So this is like, you know, what are we going to wait till the end of June to give out the Stanley Cup?
Yeah, everyone's sick of regular season hockey. The players, me, the fans,
yeah.
Tom Riley... Everyone's sick of regular season hockey. It's been a long season. You got to find a way to just... The playoffs should be starting this week, tonight, or tomorrow night, Wednesday. This should be game one, ready to rock. So for me, and Updog, you know, we're looking at these playoff races in the East. It's been unbelievable. And, you know, I'm not a huge fan of the NBA, but these play-in games. I mean, if you had a play-in game for the last spot in the Eastern Conference right now, I mean, it would be a game seven feel. Every hockey fan would watch it. I think it's something the NHL should seriously consider because it's so close now with the three-point games and... Well, the old school guys are going to be like, if you can't get in over 82 games, you don't deserve to get in. Well, newsflash, it's hard to make the playoffs in the fucking NHL. It's hard. It's hard to get in. I just think these play-in games might be a good idea. One game, let's get her going. It'd be good TV, my man.
No, it has. There's a lot of chatter about what that would look like. And it'd be tough to say, like, St. Louis deserves a shot in. Like, they're a couple points back. I get it. Like, right now, these teams, there's four teams all tied for that last eighth spot in the East. Like, at some point, would it be nice to just have them, like, a two-team play? Like, yes.
Yeah.
Fucking take the top two teams in that and let them go.
So the way they do it in the NBA is, so it's 8, 9, 10, 11. Yeah. 8 and 9 play, the winner's in, the loser's got to play the winner of 10, 11. So there's a chance you got to play two games. I think in the NHL, maybe we just make it, the eighth and ninth place team, one game. Let's go. Winner's in. It would be unbelievable.
Yeah, it would be.
So, no, like, you would get, like, a one-game play-in. It would be either Washington versus the Red Wings, or you could get, like, Capitals, Penguins. Imagine Ovi versus Sid. One game, get in.
Yeah.
That would be fucking unreal.
I know.
That'd be great TV.
Yeah, it would be, yeah. And then there's, you know, do you only have it one game, or do you do two? Do you do, like... Do you have it where that home team gets two games in their barn? Like, if if there's a tie, you know, then there's no overtime in the next game. You got to, like, win by a goal. There'd be a couple different ways to do it, for TV especially.
So in the West, if you wanted to do it the way the NBA does, I believe, it would be Nashville and Vegas would play. The winner of that's in. St. Louis and Minnesota would play. The loser of that's out. Then it would be Vegas. Let's say Vegas lost. It would be Vegas versus St. Louis. Winner gets in. So you give a pretty good advantage to the 3 and 4 spot of the wild card.
Yeah.
Because they got to play each other, losers out, and then they got to go into Vegas and play Vegas.
Yeah.
That's how the NBA does it.
Yeah, nice. So if you do finish 10th and 11th, you have to, or do they go 7, 8, 9, 10?
They go
7, 8, 9, 10.
That's exactly what they do.
Yeah.
I don't know. I just think it's something we should think about. And no, please, NHL, please. These guys missed the playoffs. They want to go to Coachella. I guess they can still go to Stagecoach.
Yeah, Stagecoach better.
Come on, we need playoff
Can't
hockey.
Wait to hear how it is.
Middle of April. Masters just ended. We don't have playoffs yet. You're on the milk carton, NHL. Updog, the Jägermeister, iciest shot of the week. Presented by Jägermeister. Best served at 0 degrees Fahrenheit. Damn, that's cold. Check Jägermeister out. DraftKingsJägermeister.com. Fella. I'm going to lead it off here. Our boy, Jack Eichel. The Avs go up the other night. I could watch the game because I was watching the Masters. They put it on Sunday afternoon, like I said. Ike's OT winner, pulls it high, comes around, twisted wrister, as I like to say, just absolutely leans on it and rips it by Georgiev. That, to me, is the Jagermeister iciest shot of the week, fella. It was just so twisted wrister, dude.
It was nasty.
Just
yeah.
nasty. Just ripped.
He is the guy. He's the guy.
Ike's get a shot, anybody? Damn, that's cool.
I want to throw an iciest shot of the night. Scottie Scheffler shot a number 9 at the Masters. It was something of pure silkiness. It was I was watching it with Beckham on the couch, big fella. It comes down the hill. It's rolling, rolling, rolling. He has no idea what I'm saying. I'm like, get in, get in.
How it didn't go in.
It just skimmed by the low side. Right, it was so nice. So Scottie Scheffler, Jagger's iciest shot of the night. Well done, and what a Masters victory.
I think he did do some Jagger. So when he landed back at Big D, he went right to his buddy's like little dive bar with the green jacket on and just was in there hanging out drinking. So I'm sure he did a little Jagermeister. Damn, that's cold.
As he should. Damn, that's cold.
I love that. I got to give this guy some credit, too. I love that. Like, all he was talking about is his wife's going to give birth any day, and he gets back, goes right to the bar. I'm like, all right, this guy can't be as bad as I thought. Check it out, boys. Jagermeister. Damn, that's cold up, dog. Back up the Brinks truck. Beep, beep, beep. Noah Hanifin. I don't know how Vegas keeps doing this. I guess Marshall's as good as gone, right? Marshall's gone.
Maybe Theodore. Like, ooh. I mean, man, he's a free agent too, but how do you, can't keep fitting all these guys in.
I would say Noah Hanifin, 8 years, $58.8 million, 7.35 a year. That's probably a good deal for Vegas, right? Good deal for
both
of
them. The way he's played, the guys, you know, the guys who watch him daily, you know, we chatted with Huberdeau last weekend. This guy is back and forth all year, solid to play against, great teammate, great guy. I think it's worth it.
I mean, listen, he's impressed me a lot. When he was in Calgary, he wore 55, which I liked that about him. I don't know. I was like, he's good, obviously, but I didn't think he was like...
Wasn't he a third?
And you know who said Brad Richardson? Richie's like, oh, you're wrong. This guy is fucking nasty. And Richie, you were right. Since he's got the Vegas, his one-timer is a lot better than I thought. And when you put him up top there and you got Ike sliding them little fucking backhand sauces and he's just ripping them, it's a great spot for him. But it's complete game ups. Good stick, makes good pass. Good on him. Well-deserved. And then we're talking about Scottie Scheffler. His caddy, Ted Scott, has already made $1.5 million this year, and it's only April up, dog. This guy is going to make – he could make fucking $10 million this year carrying a bag. Holy moly. $1.5 million just to read putts. I mean, back up the Brinks truck for Ted Scott. Dude, his interview after the Masters was so cool, too. Just talking about how lucky he is and how good of a guy Scottie is and stuff like that. So good on him.
Yeah. Totally.
He must walk in the caddy little bunk there and be like, hey, you doing, boys? Boys, how are you doing here?
You got to be buying beers for those boys.
Yeah. Oh, you would think.
100%.
He better be taking care of the other caddies.
Right?
Yeah.
Hey, let's go for dinner. Let's, you know, I got this lap dance here.
It's on Scotty.
Yeah, totally.
Up dog around the National League here to finish up, fella. It's happening. This is going to drive people as crazy around the league, but I love it. I love it. Mark Stone is cleared to begin practicing with the Golden Knights. He's coming back again. If he ain't cheating, he ain't trying up. Oh. He was hurt. He had a lacerated spleen, but it looks like he's going to be back for playoffs. Look out, but what are your thoughts on this one?
My thoughts are his short game's got to be great, right? You're out for that long, back-to-back years, just putting. Working on your chipping, putting. You have to be. You're coming back, you get a great tan, and you're just ready to go. I know that Vegas Golden Knights, their team must open that door being like, Mark, welcome back. Oh. We need you. Big C. You know, last year in the finals, you held our team on our back. You got a hat trick in the closing game. To me, you know, bending the rules, bud, using the rules to your advantage. Hey,
yeah,
why do I get to drop the ball over here?
It's not against the rules
because the rules say I can.
Yeah, you know what? I got to give Stone credit. When he came back last year in Game 1 against Winnipeg, I was texting Tom Riley in pickup. I'm like, this guy can't play. He's so slow. Like, I mean, hey, it's you want your captain in there, and then he turned up and had unbelievable playoffs. So he's done it before. He can do it again. But you look at this lineup, you got Barbashev, Eichel, Marchessault. Then you go Hurdle, Stevenson, Stone, Carlson, Howden, Mantha. And then Will Carey is another guy they need. And then their fourth line of Cotter, Roy, Kolesar. You throw William Carrier in there. I mean, look out.
Yeah, I love Roy.
Hurdle's starting to come along, too. I mean, this guy.
He's a good player.
He's a good player.
Yeah. That's. And then their D are big and strong.
Then you go Hanifin, Hayek.
And Hill back.
He'll play 2 weeks. He played
I know, but can you get him like in form?
So then you go, let's say you go Hanifin, Petro, McCabe, Theodore, Hag,
White Cloud.
White Cloud or Martinez?
I'd say White Cloud.
Martinez is going to be in there ahead of him, I would think. Where is Martinez? They sent him home? What's going on here? I just say that back end. And depth. If somebody gets hurt, they got more guys coming at you. But how many people are going to be choked at Stone's back? I can't wait to hear the people. Updog, we touched on this last week, but it seems to be official. The Coyotes are going to Utah. I heard Wilbon on Pardon the Interruption today on ESPN talking about how his house was near where the plans were. And he's like, I like hockey, but no way did I want to rink three blocks from my house with all that traffic and parking and this and that.
No kidding.
It made me realize like the human element that goes into this, right? There's people like that are living there. But I've heard some people say, Updog, that they don't know if this is going to work because Phoenix has 6 million people and Salt Lake has 1.5. But you made a great point about Salt Lake and the state of Utah in general.
Yeah, no, I think when you have an owner that is passionate and has the bankroll, fella, and you already have the building there, you know that the fans will be there. They've proven it that there's a lot of families there. There's a minor hockey league. There's a minor hockey system already in place. What you have is just the perfect scenario that they have to move. What is it? A 45-minute flight from Phoenix to Arizona, or from Phoenix to Utah? Sorry,
not very far.
These kids. You know, it's not a huge culture change to these kids. Yeah. you're trading.
They're gonna need some winter jackets
for golfing.
Yeah, they need some winter jackets.
But I think it's gonna be a great. I think it's going to be a great fit. I think that you need passionate, you know, owners as much as you need passionate fans. The population to me is something that I don't worry about. But the fact that the Phoenix Coyotes and now the Arizona Coyotes have been through this for years and years and years, and ownership's been up in, you know, cahoots with the city, with the mayors, with the residents, it just hasn't worked. And it's time. And you can ask all the players in Arizona. Yeah, they love living there, but enough's enough. And you know, as an ex Coyote, I went through a year where the NHL bought our team and took it out of bankruptcy and started paying the bills and started telling our team like, you're not going to be able to make trades, you're not going to be able to pick up a free agent. Like, it was a weird time, and now they're going through it again. So, you know, $1 billion sale.
Yeah, it's funny you say that. I heard some rumors on social media that they hadn't been paying their hotel bills. The Coyotes.
Like that.
That's that. Just didn't pay the incidentals, eh?
That's got to be a rumor.
Checks in the mail.
That's not that. This maybe the boys not putting up.
Checks in the mail. Imagine that. They're like, hey, boys, you got to pay for your own hotels this week.
Well, we didn't pay for our practice rink, and they kicked us out of there. We had this great practice rink, the Ice Den, which is now where the guys go there again. But when Gretz was our coach,
they punted you.
We didn't. Yeah, they took away our room. They gave away our room, and we owed them like $1.5 million or $2 million. And we didn't pay those bills. And then that was one of the, you know, subsidiaries of that bankruptcy that we went through. It was like, you guys owe the Ice Den $2 million. So the NHL had to come in place and, you know, take over and pay our paychecks. They were paid for by the NHL.
That's hilarious. By the way, Coyotes' last game ever will be this Wednesday at home against the Edmonton Oilers. The Edmonton Oilers, they might not go in a winning way here, but I haven't talked to Kelser or any guys I know just yet, but I've heard some rumors that some of the players aren't thrilled. But listen, once you get there, you know, you got an owner who's got lots of money who wants you there. You got a big, you know, building to play in. And listen, the state of Utah is growing. Park City, I believe, is like an hour and a half drive. Easy
it's
drive.
It's growing.
It's growing fast. People are going to come in there, watch a game, then they'll go up to Park City and ski. This is going to be a good thing for them. You'll get there. You'll be playing in front of, you know, let's hope, a sold-out barn. And when teams come in, they're not going to be like, you know, this is a joke.
Yeah.
It's good. It's good. Good Republican state. It's got to be. Yeah, there you go.
A lot of tech there. A lot of money. There's a ton of money there. There's going to be no question that they're not going to be able to sell out a new barn, like the barn.
Yeah.
With businesses, with families, with kids. It'll be exciting. And me, I'm excited. I'd fly to Utah.
Yeah, and you got a young owner, Ryan Smith, who's young, hungry, wants you there, probably going to be hands-on.
Yeah.
It's going to be good. It's going to be good. Now, listen, there's no old town in Salt Lake. I mean, it's a Mormon place. They closed the bar at fucking 1 o'clock. I used to go in there and play the Grizzlies.
No booze on Sundays.
I think they locked our bottle up in a little cage, too. And I was like,
What's going on here? That's criminal. Yeah, yeah.
You locked my bottle of booze up? Give me that back right now. I was -3 tonight. Give me that fucking thing. But last call is like 1, which is probably good. Get you home. Get you in bed.
Totally.
It's not old town. You won't be having aftershakers with hot ASU chicks everywhere. But you're going to have to bring your standards down, boys. You're not going to be getting top.
It's really sad. Actually.
You're not going to be getting top quality
trim.
It's
sad that they couldn't figure that shit out. I mean, there was, there was an effort laid there by
Batman people. Tried everything, I thought.
That's just sad.
Yeah.
Such a great city, Scottsdale.
Should we go in tomorrow night for the last game ever or what?
Mullet? Tomorrow night?
Tomorrow night they play the Oilers. Kind of short notice, eh? Ups.
Yeah.
Kind of short notice, fella. Updog, you're the man. Morgan, Kyle, thank you very much. Hall Pass Media, that was Missing Curfew.
Fellas.
Fella, we got to talk about Jägermeister. No chirping, no running its mouth. Let's just talk about the confidence on these guys.
Our friends at Jägermeister sent us this ad read to read on the show, fella. But they're confident that they said, don't do any of that normal ad stuff. Tell the listeners two things. Jägermeister's great, and everyone's been drinking it wrong. Well, if that's the case, how the hell do you think we should be drinking it?
Updog, that's a great question. Ice cold, fella. At 0 degrees Fahrenheit, to be exact. Ice cold shots of Jägermeister. That's it, my man. That's all they want to tell you. Damn, that's cold.
Just remember to check out Jägermeister at www.draftkingsxjagermeister.com. Drink responsibly. Jägermeister Liqueur, 35% alcohol by volume, imported by Mast Jägermeister US, White Plains, New York.